something that didn't happen to me. And I got up and I was sick. And my stomach was tore up, and that's what them there. Mighty uneasy about that little girl, because it's been about 2 weeks, you know, that she had that mess, and she'd get a little bit better and just come back. Well, she taking it Sunday, I believe, Sunday, and then she went to school Wednesday, and she's been every day since. And the little boy, he's all right.
How's your family?
Huh?
How's your family?
All right. Mabel's over at my sister's over there. They was looking for her sister.
From the time that it didn't, she called Dr. Daly, and Dr. Daly was off, and she talked to this other doctor that's with him. He's a doctor out of service.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mabel told him what kind of shape I was in and all like that. And he told her, says,
well, now she has to know the symptoms, you know, in order to tell him.
And he said, well, you just go down to the drugstore and have the drugman to call me, and says, I'll tell him what to do. And she did, and she got it, and the first dose I came, I was easy. And oh boy, I had cramps in my stomach and kill a stove.
How long that been going on?
Just that morning. Just about, I guess about 6 o'clock that morning.
Mm-hmm. Cramps that would kill a dog.
First time you'd had the cramps since you
Between 11 and 12 years old. My daddy bought a mill. It had been shut down for a long time. He bought it from a fellow Nelson. And me and him went down there. I went with him to see what we had to do to get it ready to start it up. And there was a whole lot of steers went with this thing. I think there were 12, 14 steers, big oxen, you know. And we got them up, and my daddy had to go back home. And he left me down there. Oh, it was a big old quarter. Oh, boy, I reckon there's 20 houses built there. And he left me down there, and I was cooking something for myself, you know, and I never cooked any. And that's about the last time I did cook any, too. And my daddy went back home, and he would just be gone one night, but he didn't. Got in some trouble and all like that, and it was straight through. We had to went down on the railroad. We went to a town up at Doran, Georgia, and then got on another road and went down to Bridgeboro, Georgia, and then we lived about 4 miles out from Bridgeboro, but straight through. It was about 22 miles. And I fed them old cows and all got them up and fed them cows. And I struck out. Just the sun wasn't quite, I don't believe, quite as high as it is now.
What is that, about 4 o'clock sun now?
Yeah. And I struck out, and what worried me, I had to go through an old...
It's 5 o'clock, sir.
It is. Well, I guess it must have been about this time.
Looking at my
the
wife.
The sun was about an hour high when I left that.
Yeah.
And what bothered me, I wanted to get through an old slavery time plantation that had been laid out for a long time, and they said it was haunted, you know, and I wanted to get through that full dark, and after then, well, I was all right. I struck a trot. And you know, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, I was at home.
Trotting?
I trotted, yes, sir, trotting. I was at home.
Jog, you call it now.
They had just got through with dinner when I went in.
You know, these boys up there where you used to work, you know, they go around there, they call that jogging.
Yeah.
Yeah, they jog several miles.
Well,
now they're in shape. You wasn't in jogging shape.
Oh, yes, with what I'd done, mess around there, I had plenty of that. Boy, as physical exercise was concerned, I had plenty of that. And I just struck a trot. And it was about 22 or 3 miles the way I went.
Well, I forget what we started out. Was this still, were we still talking about your colleague?
That's when I had that stomach trouble. And an old nigger came along there, and I was laying down on a log. And
now this is after you got home.
No, that was before I left. When I had it, I was all right. When I left to go home, I was all right. But she come along there, and she told me, said, "Boys, ain't you sick?" I told her, "Yes." I said, "My goodness, my stomach is awful." I said, "I got dysentery, I guess." And she told me, she said, "Well, you just wait a few minutes, and I'll get you something for that." She went out there and pulled up some roots and washed them off and told me, said, "You chew these roots." And I chewed them. My stomach got all right. And from that day to last Saturday morning, my stomach had never hurt me again. And that old woman got some little old roots and cut them off, washed them off, and told me, said, you chew these things. They had a kind of a bitter taste to them, but not too bad. And she says, just chew them up and get all the juice out of them. They didn't chew another. And says, "I'll chew this." And it did.
You know, with all this flu and stuff going around, I just dread sometime catching that and having the gripe, you know, for 24 hours.
Oh, my God, it's terrible.
As much as it is to do these days, Phil, and as you know, if you, nobody to help you, and if you get behind, it just makes it that much worse, you know. Oh, no.
What's that?
Ah, but Jason, all you want? Oh, Miss Boyle's head over there at that place.
Remember, she had one chum.
Now, he said, Phil had just said that they had that new little dog. Just looked like 2 or 3 weeks old. And he said somebody thought so much of them that they let them have that dog for $75. Now, that didn't let him have it, but somebody in the family. And then he found that the dog was full of worms. And that's how what started. It gave me a chance to ask him about Mrs. Boyle's vicious dog. She used to have them.
Over there. Oh, that was a vicious guy. Now, we give her that. And it was a nice dog. It was a nice dog. But what she done with that, I don't know. But she had another dog over there that they give Dr. Snow. And they had it somewheres, and the dog bit somebody. And they give the dog to Dr. Snow. And they got another one and sent him off to school to be vicious. And it's not very much of a job to make one of those vicious, you know.
They sent him off to school to be vicious. I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder what they do to him.
Well, somebody with a great big extension on his arm slaps him around, you know, and gets him to fight, and he hasn't got any confidence in anybody, you know, then, after they slap him around some and get him, and that's the way when they do it with their arm, and then they take something in their hand to hit him with, you know, and that's the reason they go up and get your arm the first thing. That's the reason they want to get your arm the first thing.
That first dog, that first mean, vicious dog they had over there. Now, that was pretty soon after they got over there?
Yes, they had him when they went there, I think, when they first went there. When we first knew that place over there, they told us that two old maid women from the north owned that place. I don't know who told me that, but they did. But they bought it and rented it to old man McCoon, and he lived over there. Mm-hmm. 1 year, 2 years, or something like that, he built a tobacco barn over there. And he's going to raise tobacco. Now, where he did or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he planted a lot of eggplants, and they were talking about getting so many thousand. When he was sick, I was over there and heard him talking about getting so many hundred to thousand crates of eggs, you know. I thought they were talking about chicken eggs. I didn't know what they were talking about. I seen them eggplants, a bush or two of them in the garden, and that's all I ever seen.
That's what Freddie calls them, eggs, you know. I always have to think twice. I don't know just why they'd need a vicious dog over there.
Well, I don't know, but, you know, that was about as peculiar a woman as you ever seen, you know. I liked her. Back to her, all right. And, several times, I was in, I went to Jacksonville to help a friend of mine out over there and, with that lumber that they were buying to build them barges and all that. And, I went over there to stay 2 weeks, but I stayed about 2.5 months. And I'd come home on that train, you know, and it come through there about 1 or 2 o'clock at night. And I'd walk from down there home. And I've seen that woman a lot of times like that, just out six times a night as that, just walking around.
Well, I never heard of that.
I've seen
that. Now, you'd come in on that late train?
Yeah.
And you'd walk there, that road in front of her house?
Mm-mm. Come down this way, and I'd meet her.
You mean on the Conline Road, the Hart Road?
First time I ever met her, she was coming through at that road by at Johnson Niggas. When I got there, I met her.
That little lane going through there.
And I stopped, and I told her, I said, "Miss Boyd, well, what in the world are you doing up this time of night?" She said she'd been up to Rogers's. Rogers stayed over mighty late. Said she'd been up to Rogers's and said she just going home. I said, "You scared to go?" I said, "If you do, I'll go with you." She said, "Oh no," says, "I ain't scared." Says, "I do a good deal of walking around."
Well, Phil, I never heard that before.
Yes, that's right.
People don't just walk around at night as they,
but
I have from time to time, but I don't anymore.
You could, a lot of times I've seen her walking around the road back in there.
Well, now, you see, you could be out on your own property just looking around.
And I've heard other people say that they have seen her too, you know. I said somebody said yes, that I've seen her a lot of times. She was always telling me about her husband running around with other women and all like that. But you know, I never seen the man do anything like that. I never heard him mention any such a thing. I never did. And as far as that's concerned, I don't think he did. I really don't. I think Bruce Boyles was a pretty nice man. I sure do. But she was very peculiar.
And then she had them dogs. Well, one thing
yes,
about it...
Yes, she had one old big bulldog over there one time.
Bulldog or boxer?
Oh, boxer or bull or something like that.
One is the same as one is bad as about as bad as the other. You take a boxer, you know they just dive at you. If they like you, you know they'll still knock you down.
I never seen one that was very vicious. This man that run this creek mill up at Gainesville gave Paul one after his daddy died. It belonged to his daddy, and he was all right. So long as you didn't mess with a child, you could pick a young'un up and he'd squeal or something or other, and that dog would eat you up. He'd eat you up. You can't worry. It's whipping a child with a switch? Oh, no.
Well, now, you was never over there at Ms. Boyle's house much. You saw over here or out somewhere.
Well, I was over there a good deal. I was over there once in a while.
Over there working with Bruce on something?
Yeah, messing with him or something other, you know, helping him do something other.
Well, you see, the time they got here, you was already working up there at the campus.
Oh, no, I came here and they moved over there just about the time I moved up here, I think a little before. They moved there by the...
37?
Something like that.
Well, for 2 years they weren't there. That's 39.
No. I mean, they moved up here, moved over there in 41 or 2.
Yeah.
And we moved up there in 42.
Yeah. Oh, I see. You was over at the other place.
Yeah, I was down there.
42. Well, you started up there, see? Up there working at town pretty soon.
No, I didn't go up there until 46.
You mean after the war?
46.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I went up there.
And you was up there 20 years. That seemed like it?
No, I was up there 17, 18 years. 17, 18 years.
46? You can't count, Bill.
What?
You can't count.
I went up there in 46.
56, 66.
And I left there in
66.
I didn't leave there in 66. I left there in 60. I left there 5 years ago in May. That'll be 5 years ago.
It hasn't been that long.
Yes, it has.
Don't seem like it.
Yes, it is. I know from my age, because I would have been 71 in October, and I left in May. I'd been 71, and in October I'll be 76.
So sure, don't seem like it.
No, it doesn't.
How long you been living down here now? It seemed like a year.
Well, I have been here over a year. See, I moved down here in September was a year ago. Last September was a year ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on an old sign over there.
guess I better go on back. And I just ran off. I hadn't had any water in so long. We've been drinking that old shallow well water. You know, that's not very good.
You know, see,
taste of several things, frogs and eels and swamp water.
Well,
and
That's true.
It's about 60 foot.
I was mighty lucky to it.
Well, that I find, as I remember, it's 60 foot well and it's 30 foot to the water. So that's not too far. That's just about the level of them swamps.
That's right, about the level.
That pond. You know what they call the pond right down there, the first one?
I imagine if you had a well, something like 150, 200 feet deep, that you would get some water. And drive the casing down not less than 100 feet to cut off that water.
When you all was talking over there, Phil, Ms. Boyles, how'd she talk?
Well, she's a mighty friendly woman.
Well, she wasn't peculiar just to talk to her.
Oh, no, not so much. It was more the things that she'd done was peculiar. She was a smart woman now. She was smart. She tried everything. She raised hogs, she raised turkeys, she raised cows.
Well, now she and Mabel could talk then, couldn't they? Because
she'd
done everything too.
Yeah. She was
Well, she had she done right some of that before she come down here?
I don't know. I never knew her before. She said that she was raised up here close to Folkestone. Folkestone, Georgia. Didn't know her. Got acquainted.
You mean she was a Georgia girl?
Oh.
But I had her all wrong. I thought him and her both was from Canada.
He was. She wasn't. And she was working in Miami at a hotel. I don't know what she did then, but he was an electrical man at that hotel when they got married.
And then they come off up here and bought that property.
Yes.
That's
had,
curious, isn't it?
They had been somewhere and come back along here and bought that property over there and paid a small down payment on it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, they had, did you know Maggie?
I met her, that's all I know. Just met her.
She was pleasant.
Yeah. She was very pleasant. But I understand that they fell out.
Well, Phil, it ain't take much, you know, to fall out. You just beat each other's throats a while. It don't take much. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Now.
She was a school teacher.
And you know, if under the right...
Yeah, sure.
Just these bloody feuds, you know, there's so little to back of them. And I don't know. It's like this. I tell you what, it's all the same.
Well, yes, they used to call a steer what I got up there, you know.
Yeah.
But an ox is what you would. But
you just let them grow them on out and feed them up and they'll make an ox.
Well, you break them to weight.
Yeah.
And then that's an ox.
When they break them?
That's my understanding.
When do they break them?
Oh, when they get going.
Year old?
Huh?
2 years old?
Oh, I see. 2.5, 3 years old.
They know the signal? You can speak to them?
Oh, yes, you drive them by talking to them, you know.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have lines?
No, you don't.
Not even more?
Break them, but after you get a team of cows broke, well, you just drive them, call them to you. It's just a funny thing where you want the cow to come to your left, whoa. You want to go to back you on a back. Back you go to right. Whoa. A stop. Just how you train them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have no line on them. I never seen you with a line.
That's curious, isn't it?
And you know they're mighty good back there then. We got a lot of timber out of branches, you know, just little streams that run through, and on each side of the stream there'd be trees. They cut them, and those trees or cows will go where a mule won't go as far as bogging is concerned. And you get a mule that bogs down above his hoofs or anything, they get scared, you know, and start jumping and all like that, but a cow won't. He'll be up to his knees and still going, you know. Make a yoke, go close his neck with a bow up there. And to hitch him up, you place him up there and pick up your yoke and lay it over his thing and put him up there. Make him come up there. You put him up there. A cow is a lot of sense.
Oh, Dan Byrne. I'd like to see somebody work at an auction. I never saw.
You see, the last ones I seen, a fella broke six of those oxen, and I asked him about coming down there and snaking. I didn't have time to fool with it, and I wanted some 92-foot poles right there. And the boy said, "Here, my daddy sent you these oxen." I said, "What does he want for them? What did he tell you to get for him?" He said, $300. That was the oaks and bows, chains and everything. And I said, wanted $300 for him. I said, all right. I went on back in the commissary and wrote him a check and gave it to the boy, and he went on. And the only use I had for the stairs was to haul
all right, ma'am, was she?
Haul wood to the railroad, to my tram roads, you know, where a whole log where the train had to have wood. And that's what I used to do, just a little bit. And the fellow, I will sell them to you. And he got out there and he looked at him. He says, "Will you take them?" I said, $100 a piece. He said, "Will you give me the yokes for that?" I said, "I don't know about that." I said, "Yeah, I reckon so." So I give $300 for them and sold them.
How many was it?
Six of them.
Oh, six of them. I thought it was just a pair.
No, six of them.
Team? Is that what it's team?
Oh, yeah. A whole lot of time to use it.
What's that? Now this is at 350. This is on the meter at 350. And this is Saturday, 24th of February, 16th. Faye had to go over to do some telephone. I went with her and caught Fel and Mabel. This is windy, stormy, drizzly day. And the temperature hasn't got above 40. And I just carried that tape along with me, and we got on some good things. The only thing, the battery was a little weak, and I may have a little trouble in getting the right voice on it.
They generally have a cold spell for Easter. The chillings have been over here, and whenever they come, they mess up every burn on that stove.
Oh, they have. Yes. Yeah.
rented a cottage out there on the beach. And they were five of us out there, five of us staying. Very convenient, right on the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out there, I guess, got there about,
oh, yeah.
And I had been down on the... She don't need the watermelon, Mrs. Dyle. I mean the vine. It's the vine.
Yeah.
Was big in place.
Yeah.
And I had down yonder, it just walked us over and walked down that back of this place that had the beans. And my beans, I would say they were that high. And they were not in that cold pan. Well, I felt cold. And it went to, that when they left here, I mean the sun was shining and it was hot.
Yeah.
And Juanita came up here and brought every one of the kids. She's always been careless about packing their clothes like you ought to. No sweating or not nothing.
Yeah.
Well, it began to drizzle rain right in the dark. And the wind began to blow and but it began to turn cold. Well, Mary was sleeping for a minute. Paul and Jane was with Juanita. And the twins, I had a baby bed then and had them in there. And Juanita got pulled it right by the door, bathroom door on this side. And I keep turning that heater up, and the heater needed cleaning out. But I'm going to tell you, before the day I knew, it was rough. I kept putting on covers during the heater. And the wind was blowing. I'm telling you, I thought they'd twist the, you know, the watermelons out of the ground.
Yeah.
The wind was blowing.
Yeah.
Well, after it was over, old Jesse Walker went in and looked at my beans and Uncle Will. They had one that I kind of depended on. They said, well, old Miss, Bud is not dead. And says that if you apply these things out in fertilizer, again, says you'll make me.
Uh-huh.
And so I put the niggas in that, putting out fertilizer and flour. And I'm going to tell you, they was just as brown if you'd put them in the oven and the baker.
Yeah.
All but that bud was green.
What do you know?
You know them things put out there in about 2 weeks' time, you wouldn't know.
Is that right?
They put out there, and the first picture I picked over, I
picked
430 bases.
Yeah.
Next time, 365. Next time, I think it was 255 that I picked off that.
Green
beans.
People
come home this neighborhood, you know, look at those beans. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Old John McCray and all of them.
Yeah.
But I make beans that time, old Conker. That's what it is.
Now, this is one of Mabel's fine stories of those beans freezing and these colored fellas that worked with her going out there and finding out that the bud was still there. I've heard her tell that a good number of times. Now, this is one of the things that happened, too, about taking care of Ms. Patterson's animals.
And you put in the feed, they're sticking that feed to sell it.
Yeah.
And now your stocks are go hungry.
Yeah.
And that's what we had Thomas's Dairy. It used to be in the cross Ferrarian, turns and left and go back there. They tore it all down. And his man down there would sell.
Come here.
He's the other way.
Come on.
And, yeah, what a matter, boy.
He's sure going.
Now, ain't he going? And, he tried to sell
it.
Tried to sell it better than I think. And come to find out that it wasn't his business to sell. As long as the man in Jacksonville, he was looking after the cows and the calves and things, and he was selling us calves, and said they all got, he got the feed from Jacksonville, come to find out that other man.
Yeah.
And old Weaver there in Lincoln, I already have told you that. He used to buy feed from our place. We'd have it come and load it out here and he'd buy it. I went up there and caught the hog in his pen when I'm getting back and beating him. There wasn't no kids say now.
Why, Mabel?
That ain't no joke about it. Your wife was coming out there with a bucket of feed. That's at the feet on the porch.
Well, I bet.
And, you know, then when you bought $56 worth of feed, you know, it was cheap, you know, and that was a lot of feed.
Yeah.
And the old nigga was working out. He'd been dead about 2 years. And I come home, he says, oh, miss, he says, some of your hogs are left beyond the buck we was born.
Well,
see, we had the meal. That's what we sold the meal out.
Yeah, I see.
Well, we is out from Jacksonville, and we stay there all the week and come home, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I would have
some
feed crates in the hotel to deliver feed up here.
Yeah.
And so that was where the house, we got the house built. Uh-huh. I went over there one Sunday morning, found the hogs and the pens,
you know,
and found the feed.
Is that right?
Yeah, I saw Bounty girl, so you ain't rich, that man.
Yeah, to
her. Now, well, I don't say nothing about nobody, but when I tell you I know anything, I know that.
Yeah. Well, why are we talking about mules? Let me get that straight. I told you all on that, and I know I'm getting it wrong. Don't you know when you went in your shed down there and your mule wouldn't let you catch it? And you come up here and got your gun? Oh, no, it was out in that patch. And there was four or five of us out there trying to hem him up and catch him. And
yeah.
And I had a little 410 shotgun. It was about as much shotgun as
I coached that all time on it. And every time I make it up different.
And I just come up here and got that gun and I walked down the path to there. He come by me when he did. I shot him and I got two shots pretty good. I hit him with both of them. So I come on back up in. I thought he'd come up to the other end of the pasture the way he'd been coming. When I got up the house, he was in the barn where I wanted him. And one side of it was pretty bloody. I made some wet cloth there and washed his blood off his side, put the bridle on him, went on to work with him.
Well, for a long time, he just put a stick on your shoulder to look like a gun and he came right down. So that's really to get you no trouble.
Yeah.
But when we first got him, they brought him out here and put him in the barn, and the two white men I had working here come to the house and I said, I'll tell you, your boy wrong. He said, you just can't catch him. Said, he run us clear out of that barn, darling. I said, well, that don't make no difference. Wait till they'll get there, he'll catch it. So they are scared to go inside the barn.
Yeah.
So they all came up. That mule didn't do a thing over that Bell had his feet coming back. Bell got that whooping you talk about using a whooping and using it. And he was putting it on his wrist, the horn, and that. And that mule quiet down, turn around, come right back to Bell.
Yeah, I made the mule put come up there and stick his head to Bell.
It just depends on the
horse
cut.
It's not that way. I had horse is different, but you got to take charge of him.
Yeah. I had an old cow there that get on that foot of the lane and fall. She's the only cow I had that did that. At that time of year, you know, and I just got tired of getting that cow ball. I got her up there in the corral. I him drove in the corner, and I just panned her, you see. I got my stick, it was a better accident, a rope. I forget what I had, but she could feel it. And I just wailed fire out of her. I just hit her this way, and I hit her that way, you know. And you know what she do? Just as soon as I quit, she start bawling again.
Shells, said one of them would shoot the other wood, and said
he went down to a little branch. Horse was standing down that little branch, went to the field. And said he got up close he could and said when she did, she got off and said he shot her. And said he went on up to the house and said the horse was up to the house. And that's what made me think about it, go get a gun and shoot that that mule, and I shot him twice.
His brother came and he was trying to get that old mule we had. It was a young mule, too. And I said, just come on back out of the barn. I said, you can't catch him. She won't let you catch him. He said, oh, yeah, I'll catch him. He got him a stick about as long as that dog, too, before when he went in there. A few minutes, he walked on out the gate and he had the mule with him. Well, some of the mules could be rough.
Yeah.
But
that mule needed all the field up here. Wasn't anything in the world I could give. Wanted to fly God's way, you know. But I was afraid. I said, I'll give you half. But that thing would kill you. And it would, too.
Now, she knew that truck. I could go in the field, you know, when she'd look up and see the truck. And she'd be just as calm as she'd be. But I let somebody else go out there. She knew it was a stranger and you was calling everybody.
Well, what'd you use the old mule for?
Well, we used up wine.
Didn't have sense enough to use a tractor. And they've been using the mule all their life, but still didn't know how to put a plow on old mule plow stock. And Mabel says that they ain't got sense enough to use a tractor, so you better see if you can buy me a mule. I went down there, and this was a nice mule, and I asked how come you got such a mule as this I'd care to sell? He said, well, says, there ain't nothing wrong with it. Says, I'll guarantee you it'll be all right.
Yes, Auntie was a lie, though.
He said he wants $100 for it. I said, I'll give you $100 if you care home. He brought it down there, backed up the ditch down there and unloaded, and I let him on up and put in the barn better. And I went on the way next morning when I come back. These two great big men, bigger than me. Said, I know what's the matter with that mule now. I said, you can't catch him. I said, you tell me a mule and a stockade and two bigger men that you all can't catch a mule. No, officer said, you can't catch him. I said, you run your eyes there. I said, I don't think so. So I just got that. I went in there and she backed her ears and started, but I shot her 2-3 times for that. And she turned around and looked at me.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the whip out of top of her, picked up the bridle, and she come stuck her head in it.
Well, I wish y'all could have seen.
I told him, I said, you're old enough to be a man, but I said, you're not.
You don't seem that you like the past with the cage. The cage loved it better than anything. I looked out across the fence of the under the pecan tree, and she was laying down, as mean as she was, and that's at a cave straddle of her. With 2 feet on one side and 2 on the other, chewing in the air.
Yeah,
and she was laying right there, and I don't know the times we didn't see her do that either.
Yeah.
And I would have thought she'd kill the cave. But she loved those calves better than anything in the world. You take one out of there, and she'd low and holler. Take on for that cake.
Is that right?
Just like it was her.
Is that right?
But you know, his other dog has left him, guys.
Huh?
And his other dog has left him.
Yeah.
He's staying with that people, I think.
You mean Mushy?
Mushy, I'm telling you, he loves her horse and he carries up there. And that tractor, when they crank it up, now he's good.
Is that right?
He's getting the pilot, ain't he? He's up where he sleeps all
day. Why, Mabel?
This telling about Mushy. Mushy's left home. He's gone up to the old house there, and they've got pigs and chickens and everything, and it's just too dull down that Fell's house. I told him I never thought Faye came in. She said she never thought Mushy would leave him, and Fell said he had, though. And he just got through telling these mule stories. I sure wish this sound was good, because that's the material that it would just be so fine.
Oh, anything that kind of takes place of having to handle.
Nothing in the world has no more company. And you will know the chicken is company around the place.
You know, shit, though. I think it's going to cost me about $300.
They can handle a car, and they just get off the bus. Roofs are off somewhere else.
Yeah.
They just have lots of paper somewhere else. You know, time enough to have them come up here with that across the mountain.
Well, now that's a good story about Miss Boyle's, but it's even the other one's not erasing, so I'll have to just let that go.
Then the other one you run that wire up the trees and up the banks and put the other one right on this, under the saddle, on the harness, saddle, and fix it the same way. And set those dry cell batteries right down by the footrest. That'll hold them good and tight, you know, stick them in there and fix them. And you get it fixed up, and all you got to do is take that wire and just touch it to the other side, and just touch it. You can take it away because the horse has done got it then. And a horse can stand a lot less electricity than a man can.
Well, they say a cow can't stand much.
No, and electricity, whenever it hits it, it's up there on that brain, you know, where the brain is, and it gives them a shock. And
well, these little things you put, you use for cows, and if the burgers in it, stick it to them.
Oh, well,
that'd be enough.
I don't think that would work as good as the other. You go stick them with that, they'll cause it to kick and things like
they'll
that.
They'll see it.
Yeah. They know what you touched them with it all. But this other way, they don't realize what's happening until the shock hits them. I bought an old balking mule one time. And the man was down in the edge of the swamp down there looking at me, hitch him up. And when I hitched him upside of a big horse, that horse just drug him on up on the yard, hauled him up on the yard to stack it. And he just drug him up there and back. And was out in the country, and we had a battery radio, had A, B, and C batteries in it, you know, and I went up there and got the B battery and come back and fixed it while they were loading the wagon. And when they started to go off, they clucked at old mule, and he got back in the collar up around his ears, you know. And I takes that thing and down he went. It was a heavy battery. It was down here. He throwed him like that. It knocked him if you hit him in the head with a sledgehammer. When he got up and got it kind of straight, he wanted to go, but I knocked him down again. I was mad with him. It was no use. And when he got up that time, he went. And you know, I loaned him to a fella after then to snake ties out of a swamp with. And he never gave me any more trouble, and he was no mule. And the idea was that when a mule gets that old, and a balking mule, now a balking mule is a lot worse than a balking horse. And but that mule never did give me no
more. What is a balking mule?
I went ahead and worked the old mule.
I never heard of that, Phil.
Well, it's a great thing.
Never did.
It doesn't matter. You don't whip them, you don't do all these things anymore. And it doesn't hurt them, but they'll go.
No, sir, I've never heard of that. Never have.
Now, I never tried it on a saddle horse, but a fellow Godwin, that he trained horses, and he said that he worked it on a horse every time you got on the truck, you know. Just do a whole lot of things. And he said he fixed that thing up on his saddle, and said when he started bucking, said he shot that electricity to it and said he quit bucking. I never tried that, but I've tried it driving a lot, and it doesn't hurt him. And it's just the way to do it, I think.
Well, you know that little horse.
Well, they look like your horse down at the store. Seem like that mighty gentle. One of the kids got off of
it. Well, that little.
I don't think it's
that. That little bay mare you got over there, she's a beauty.
Yes,
that's a nice horse.
They were just saying the other day, they
had rain all the time.
Yeah.
And
well,
she
seen the trees in the forest that you put now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing they shouldn't be over.
Well,
I wonder how long it's up.
We got a mess here with these schools. A lot of things that I did approve of.
Seemed like he tried there for a while.
Yeah.
Well, he
didn't
know what horses. My daddy bought a young horse one time. He'd run away. These two old folks had raised him. And that he run away, well, and hit a tree, and the top of the buggy came off, you know, and they fell over in the back of it, and they just scared to fool him anymore. Yeah. About to give him an old slow mule, I mean, for the horse. And it was a slow mule, too. When I say slow, you said he was trotting just as fast as he could do. Pretty mule, but he's lazy. So, Mama brought the horse home, and he told me he's in that mule. He said, if you got to go anywhere this morning, he said, if you catch one of them others to hurt your mother, that horse, so that horse will hurt you. Well, I didn't generally doubt what the old man said, because he caught me to be just too fast. I couldn't resist it. I wanted to hand in there and put me some feed in there, you know, and I caught it. And so I hitched him up to the buggy, my sister over here. She got in that buggy. Whenever she did, I went around and the horse started off, and I caught the back of the buggy and crawled over the back of it. And when we went through the...
That's right.
But
he didn't wait for you.
He didn't wait for me. Just about an ankle. I'll be about a block down that little first store. But here come that brother-in-law of mine. He worked there with just a armful of old boxes of things. And yes, we got right with him. He threw them down. It did. That horse went right through town. He went. There was no seat. You know, in the middle of the street out there, that where the pump was, they pump water, you know, this old sage, you know, where horses used to drink. And that scanner went over that thing with one wheel, and the one hadn't turned us over, and down the railroad we went. But down the railroad was straight, just like it was going real estate. Well, I let him go, and got on up there, and we got the clothes. I turned that scout around and started back, and one of the blackest old niggas you ever seen. I stopped till that nigga come on, get that buggy with us, you know, and drive that horse back to town about a mile out. He got in the buggy with us, and we went on back. I take that scout out, and I put him back in that pen, in the lot. Well, I was about the only one to catch him. I paid him, you know, and I always do it with feed. And we was all washing out there in the backyard. And I went out there and turned the horse out into the barnyard. We had a big barnyard. And that horse took me to my mama's calves.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you, he come back with a kicking of both feet, you know, kicking at those calves. Mama told me to put that horse back in that pen. So I stood at it. She went in there to put him up herself. And he done her just like he did the calves. He run her out of there. Well, that time she came up on the fence. It was a plank fence. Around the barnyard. And so Mama, he stopped. Mama got down, she had her whole handle. She waved it around a couple of times. That horse come after her again. Well, Mama come up on top of that fence and come over. Well, when Mama looked on that top of that fence, it just like tickled me to death. I kept a giggling and a laughing and a giggling and laughing trying to
keep. She used that stick on you,
She picked her hand out of that to wash water and popped me right in the face. But when I got through legs, I put up and put the horse back in the pen, in the stable. That's the thing, if I got the leg and I couldn't keep from it, and I generally got my jaws.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. She looked so funny, I never forget how she looked on that thing. You know, those kids things you can enjoy laughing and all the more you can that. But I used to handle the buffer stock by petting them, mewing them.
Oh, old man.
You know, sometimes I feel sorry for these children growing up now. They got to put up with some of their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at him.
And there was a time there that the same horse We all got to love the horse better than anything in the world. We could do anything in the world we wanted to with it.
Oh, really?
And so the horse was sick one morning. I mean, he was sick, too. Wasn't eating his head to the foot right down.
Yeah, they looked
so it just like, Papa wasn't there, and we didn't know what to do. And, of course, they didn't have veterinaries like they do now. So, we had him out there under a chinaberry tree, but he didn't have a bridle on him because he was so sick, you know. He take him by the mane, lead him anywhere we wanted to. And Em and I over there, my sister, we were working together with him. Mama said, well, it seems like it's his kidneys he won't move. Said, I tell you, he says, get a tub of water and pour the water back and forth, and that'll make his kidneys move. Probably, so sometimes we old people, you know. When people are old and the kids don't move, you just go to pouring water around and make the kidneys